Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Evildoers are having a field day, and the foundations of the nation are being torn apart. Yet in the midst of turmoil, the prophet Habakkuk had a burst of faith that God was still in charge, just as he is for the USA. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Now, Erwin Lutzer talks more about what to do when the answer is disaster. This is how Habakkuk handled disaster in his day.
And then we conclude, you'll notice it says, verse 16 of chapter 3, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Don't you feel that way when things go bad and when we read the headlines? Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who have invaded us. I am willing now to have patience, to let God do it on his schedule and his agenda and not mine. So that's what he's emphasizing. And then this book ends with this unbelievable, almost surprising burst of praise. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. And then he ends with a note to Jerry Edmonds. Says right here, to Jerry Edmonds, the choir master with stringed instruments. That's right. It's right there. This apparently was sung. This was sung. What's going on? What's the connection between what Habakkuk is learning about God and suddenly this great burst of admiration and praise? What's the connection? How can we move from all these questions to praising God? How can we make that transition? That's the question. There are two things that Habakkuk concluded about God. And he said, if these things are true about God, I can praise even though everything that has been nailed down is being torn up and everything is falling in around me. First, God is in control. God is in control. The Chaldeans are coming. That's scary. They were wicked. They were evil. They used to skin people alive. They were known for their violence. The Chaldeans are coming. God says, I'm the one that is raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation that shall come against you. That is part of my work as a discipline and as a judgment for your sin. But I am in control. Have you ever wondered how strong the Chaldeans were? Have you ever wondered how strong radical Islam is, for example? Have you ever wondered how much authority Pilate had over Jesus? Let me ask a different kind of question. Have you ever wondered how strong the devil really is? You say, yeah, I'd like to know. Today, I'm going to tell you. Whatever you may say about the service today, if you're listening by the internet, radio, however, finally, you will find an answer to the question of how strong the devil is. Are you ready? He has as much power as God lets him have, and not one whit more. That's how strong the devil is. He cannot even harass you unless it passes Jesus Christ's test of control. The devil wants to get to Peter. And Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but he can't get to you until I've passed off on it. Once you understand this, you will pray against Satan as we must and as we are instructed, but we will pray with great faith because we know that God is in control. And I will quote the words of Jesus to Pilate, words that I absolutely love. The words are, thou couldst have no power at all against me unless it were given to thee from above. The evil people that are harassing you, what is happening in your life, the injustice that you are enduring, the feeling that you are being marginalized and misunderstood, evil can have no authority over you unless it is given from above. God is in control, and that's why we pray to God. And that's why we have a day of prayer and fasting. It is because we believe that ultimately we must submit everything to God, and we can come to God about anything because God is in control. When Habakkuk realized that, he said, I realize that nothing is happening willy-nilly among the nations. Nothing is happening in the raising up of leaders and the taking down of leaders. That God stands back of everything. He does not do evil. He does not do evil. But through secondary causes, he's involved in everything that transpires on his planet. So that's the first thing. Secondly, when Habakkuk began to go over the story of the Israelites and their deliverance out of Egypt, he learned something else about God. He learned about the control of God, but he also learned about the care of God. He began to think of how God led them through the Red Sea and how God dried up the Red Sea and how God fed them and how the mountains trembled and how everything else began to happen under his sovereign control, and God delivered his people. He said, you know what? I can also believe that God cares about me. And Habakkuk finally realized something. He said, never again will I interpret the silence of God as the indifference of God. There are times when God is silent, but that doesn't mean that he's not working. That doesn't mean that he is indifferent. It still means that the very hair of your head is numbered. Still means that he sees the sparrow fall to the ground, and that you, as a child of God, are number one on his list of things to take care of in the universe. He says, I will accept, he says, the fact that there are times when God is silent, but he is faithful. And he is working, and that he cares about me. So what Habakkuk says in the last part of his book, verse 17, we could translate it for our era something like this. And though the refrigerator is empty, and though I may lose my job, or perhaps have, because that's exactly what Habakkuk is saying, the only means of livelihood was what grew, and of course the animals in the field. Though things should turn against me and what I have planned not come to pass, yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. I will take joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength. And I will go on believing and trusting no matter what. That's what the prophet is saying. And so it comes down to this. Do you believe in the care of God and the control of God? Do you believe that when God puts us through the kiln, through the furnace, that he keeps his hand on the thermostat, and therefore we can be assured that nothing is happening randomly? It is directed toward an appointed end. We have to understand that God is on a different timetable. God was saying, Habakkuk, you're absolutely right about my holiness. You're right about my justice. You're wrong about the issue of time because I'm on a different schedule than you are. William Cooper struggled with insanity, and tried to commit suicide. You say, well, who was he? He was the man who gave us the wonderful line that God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He also wrote the song, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." I mention that because there are people who are genuinely saved who struggle with perhaps mental illness, with depression, with a sense of hopelessness. That's why, by the way, we need the church. That's why we have TMC communities, is because not a one of us can live the Christian life successfully on our own. And it's not enough simply for you to be here, though that's wonderful. You need to plug into our ministries. You need to get to know people. You need to become part of a body that helps us in our walk with God. But I love what William Cooper wrote based on this text. "Though vine nor fig tree neither their wanted fruit should bear, though all the field should wither, nor flocks or herds be there, yet God the same abiding, his praise shall tune my voice, for while in him confiding, I cannot but rejoice." God says, where you are, you can live differently. Now you say, well, Pastor Luther, I just don't see the connection. Now here's what we're going to do. In the next 3 or 4 minutes, God is going to bring deliverance to hundreds of you who are listening when I explain what commitment means. Because you see, here's what we do as Christians. We hear a message like this, and then we pray, and we say, oh God, I pray that things will work out. I pray that this will happen. And we're just fidgeting, and we don't pray in faith because we keep praying over and over and over again and don't see anything, and we even get more nervous. God says, you're praying, and that's fine, but what you aren't doing is you don't understand the meaning of the phrase, commitment. My friend, next time it's going to be so important that you continue to listen to Running to Win, because commitment is different from simply asking God for help. And I make that very clear in a brand new book I've written entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? The subtitle is A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. One of the things that I point out is that unanswered prayer has a great deal of mysteries, but we don't have to know all of God's hidden purposes in order to continue to believe Him, to trust Him, no matter what. It deals with issues such as, why should I pray if God is sovereign and already knows the future? It deals with things like, how do I handle the disappointment of unanswered prayer? For a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you. Please take advantage of this. I believe it'll help you in your spiritual journey toward the finish line.
Erwin Lutzer with more of When the Answer is Disaster, another message in a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Next time, more on the burst of faith Habakkuk experienced, realizing that God is always in charge. Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? That's a book that all too many believers need to read. A copy is waiting for you as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.